Greetings, friends, and welcome to this episode of Women Over 50, A Life Redesigned. My name is Shelley. I am your host. And if you're a first-time listener, thank you. And if you are a long-time listener, I appreciate your support greatly. Thank you so much. This episode was a little tough for me. It's about a friend who died and the impact that it had on my life. And if you feel that this is an episode that someone else might want to listen to, please feel free to share it. Also, check the show notes out for information on our Women Over 50, A Life Redesigned Facebook group. You can join me and over 750 other fantastic women and get support, insight, and ideas on how to redesign your life after 50. So I had a good friend die recently, like almost a week ago from the time I'm recording this. I was in my office Monday morning about 7:30. I got a text from someone who was previously a coworker, which I'll get into later, and a friend. And she texted me and said, "Gary died last night, and I will send you more information as I know it." And at first I thought maybe it's her brother, because this woman, Lisa, had a brother named Gary, and Steve and I used to house sit for Gary and his wife, Rita. And then I thought, well, I don't think it would be that, because I wasn't really that close to Gary. And so I called her and I said, "Are you talking about Gary B?" And she said, "Yes." Apparently he had had a heart attack the night before and died 45 minutes after he told his wife, "I think I'm having a heart attack." And beyond the shock of that, Gary was like really healthy. He was vegan. He was thin. I mean, he wasn't obese. He was active. He had a positive mind, a positive outlook. And so it was just really a double whammy. It was just such a shock. And I, there's some backstory to this that I'm going to talk about, but first, down in the show notes below here is a piece I wrote, called A Place of Impact, which talks about Gary and the Walnut Street Inn. And when I had gone out to Colorado, and I'll put the link down to that, that story as well, I came back after 8 months because I'd run out of money and I needed a job. I needed to come back home because I ran out of money, basically. So a friend of mine had said, "Hey, you know, they're looking for a housekeeper at the Walnut Street Inn." And I was familiar with the place because I'd seen it, you know, living in Springfield. And so I went and applied for the job, and I interviewed with Gary, who's the innkeeper, the owner of Walnut Street Inn. And he hired me. I don't think it was because I had any experience, which I didn't, but it was that I was, you know, I was mature and reliable and dependable and had held professional jobs in the past. So he hired me. And I remember when I went to work there, he had a conversation with me, as he has with all of his other new employees too, about an emotional bank. That he's always had an emotional bank with each employee. And you can either run a deficit with that, or you could keep a balance, you know, a positive balance. And I don't remember any more of the conversation, but I had an emotional bank with Gary. I always did. I was never in a deficit. So anytime I needed anything, you know, when Steve and I stay there, he gives us a massive discount. And, you know, he was just a great guy. It was a great place to work. It was a big house. You know, it was like a family. You'd go in there, you'd fix breakfast, you'd eat breakfast, you'd tidy up. And I got to meet people from all over the world. Literally, I learned some new skills. I went from being a housekeeper to the innkeeper to eventually becoming the event coordinator, where I would coordinate weddings and baby showers and graduations and 70th birthday parties and all sorts of stuff. It was really a lot of fun. But Gary was really good to me, and Gary and the Walnut Street Inn was instrumental in continuing my journey of healing after I came back from Colorado, because the inn, I would sometimes be there by myself. It was very quiet. It was work. You wouldn't think that cleaning rooms would be a meaningful job, but in a place like that, it really was because it was a small place and you got to know the people there during breakfast or when they checked in or when they were just roaming around the property. So it was a really good job for me. It was quiet, it was easy. I could just go home after. I didn't have to take my work home with me. So they were just really instrumental in continuing my journey of healing. In words, I can't even articulate how. It was more of there's no words. It was just these feelings and these thoughts and these emotions that helped me to heal. So I was on a coaching call with my coach today, and she knew that my friend had died, and she asked me how that impacted me in terms of looking at my own life and freaking out, thinking, oh my gosh, we could go at any minute. Am I, do I need to change something in my life? And I told her, I said, it's really funny that you mentioned that because I was thinking about that last night, about how Gary's death does, it's not freaking me out. I'm not thinking I need to re-examine my life because this close friend has died suddenly. He was only 7 years older than I was. He died suddenly. It was unexpected. Now, I don't feel the need to evaluate my life. And that's because I have a good life. 95% of my life is really good because I have taken the steps to make it that way. I made a decision when I turned 50 and I ran away from home and did all that out there. I had made a decision to redesign my life and start creating a life I love, which I have. So his death does not give me pause in that way. I don't need to reconsider my life because my life is really good. But let's go back in the past to when I was 32 and my mother died suddenly. She was 62. My mother had so much tragedy in her life. Her parents both died before she was 13. Her dad died this horrific, excuse me, horrific traumatic death. It was awful. I've got the birth certificate and I can't even, oh, I can't even imagine. And then after her parents died, she was adopted. And then she married a man who became my father and an abusive alcoholic. And she just died in her sleep at the age of 62. And I did, at that point, I was freaking out. Not just because it was my mother that had died, but that death really gave me pause as to my life. Because when I was 32, 95% of my life sucked. I think if it hadn't been for the kids and, the things that I did with them and such, and I was working on my bachelor's degree, otherwise my life sucked. And so I did reevaluate. And I remember after I left my ex-husband, he even told me, he said, "You changed after your mom died. I could see a real change in you." So I spent the next 5 years preparing to leave that marriage and to leave that place I was at. And I did. And so that's just the difference between now and then, is that I have created this life that I really like, I really love, that I do try to make better, and I shift and I make these changes when needed. But overall, I don't ever feel the need to reevaluate or change up my life because something really bad has happened to someone close to me. But it took work. And if you want to know how I did it, you can listen to my podcast and join us in the Facebook group, Women Over 50, A Life Redesigned. I'll drop a link in the show notes. And I'm very candid about my story and the things that I've gone through. But I want to share that with you, that design a life, redesign, create, live a life that you love and that you don't have to think about, evaluate, and change up drastically when you have a tragedy in your life. Okay, peeps, thanks for listening. Until next time, stay awesome.